Hey there, it's Tom Ryan, founder and CEO of ICR. Before we get into the next episode, I wanted to ask that you subscribe to the show. It'll help us get even more unique and interesting guests on the podcast, and in turn, continue to educate management teams and the growing ecosystem that creates value for fast-growing private and public companies. And while you're at it, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating. Very much appreciated. This episode is brought to you by IEQ Capital, an investment advisory firm that provides a premier endowment-style investment approach and family office services to eligible clients tailored to the unique needs of your family. The founding team behind IEQ Capital are entrepreneurs at heart with an uncompromising focus on clients and investment excellence. With over 30 years' experience as investors, they have a broad understanding of each asset class, deep institutional relationships, and a network that provides assets to exclusive private investment opportunities. Visit www.ieqcapital.com to learn more.
While neither Tom Ryan nor the show receives fees from IEQ Capital in connection with the sponsorship, nor is Tom a client of IEQ Capital, ICR must note the potential conflict of interest in recommending IEQ Capital in light of our potential for a future business relationship. All statements in this episode express the speaker's respected personal views and do not reflect the opinions or review of IEQ Capital.
When you're trying to attack a $20 billion market, you know, and you're trying to build something that really changes the lives of patients, you can't do it alone.
In the life-altering world of healthcare and disease treatment, the right partnerships can make a critical difference in your success.
So we've really, especially given our size and et cetera, really scoped out a partner-centric approach, which I think is unique.
Being a public company can be hard. Small missteps can have outsized consequences. I'm Tom Ryan, founder and CEO of ICR, and over the last 25 years, we've helped thousands of companies understand and navigate the stock market and the media. We'll demystify these and other increasingly complex stakeholder groups so you can focus on what you do best, building your company and unlocking your true potential. This is Welcome to the Arena from ICR. Big healthcare challenges demand cutting-edge products. Today's guest is building strategic partnerships to get ahead of disease and fuel the growth of their company. Today, we're sitting down with Chris Hall, CEO and president of Personalis, which trades under the symbol PSNL. In his role, Chris drives the vision and strategy for the company, including commercializing its diagnostic product offerings. He brings over 20 years of experience in general management and product development within the diagnostic industry, most recently as CEO of Naring Health. Previously, he served as president, COO, and chief commercial officer of Veracyte, Inc., where he led the company's commercial entry into endocrinology and pulmonology and scaled its operational groups. Chris also served as an SVP and chief business officer at Berkeley Heart Lab, part of Solera Corporation, where he helped new product launches and restructured operations to improve profitability and streamline delivery of services. He holds a BA in political science from DePaul University and an MBA from Harvard. Let's enter the arena with Chris Hall.
Personalis was born out of the fusion of a sequencing pioneer, John West, who is the founder of the company, with some Stanford academics with a lot of data science and backgrounds. And the question was, could we apply sophisticated techniques to be able to get more out of sequencing data, to be able to see more from analysis of people's genomes? And that has morphed itself into a lot of really great business models that have generated some cool revenue. The company has used that technology to power the VA's Million Veterans Program, where the VA is trying to sequence a million veterans' genomes and be able to have new insights that change health through that effort. The company's been one of the leading forces providing its products to biopharma companies to be able to make new insights around immunotherapy targets, because it's probably one of the most discriminating platforms on the market to be able to do that. And the company's technology has helped to drive the emergence of the personal cancer vaccine market, where creating a molecular fingerprint of a patient's tumor allows a biopharma company to produce a very individualized therapy. And we've partnered with a lot of companies in that space, including Moderna, which is one of the most high-profile companies that we've working with. But most recently, and I think what's really exciting for the company and for cancer patients, is we've been pioneering that platform and that technology to bring to market an ultra-sensitive test to be able to find the recurrence or any residual disease after a cancer treatment. Because what a cancer patient struggles with after they've been treated is this key question, you know, and you go back and you do ultrasound every 6 months, and many of us that have family members in that flow know what a scary moment that is, where we all sort of, it's always in the back of your mind, everyone in the family's on a text string, you know, knowing that it's happening that day and then waiting to hear the results, and everyone holds their breath. But the truth is, ultrasound has some challenges. A lot of times something has seen and it's just a shadow of the image, or most importantly, when you can actually see it on the ultrasound, it's already probably a centimeter. It's already big. It's already shedding a lot of tumor into the blood, and it's already become dangerous. And so, you know, the question with using sequencing technology or using liquid biopsy tests or being able to look in the blood is, can we see the emergence of cancer months or maybe even a year ahead of imaging to be able to get in front of it and keep fighting the battle? And so that's really where we're focusing, because we think that opportunity with a really, really sensitive approach can get cancer patients the therapy they need way ahead and possibly save a lot of lives.
So do you think this is the most sensitive MRD test in the market? I know I've read kind of one part per million sensitivity and detection and recurrence. Is this something that's just really differentiated in the marketplace?
It is. So we developed it with the idea that we wanted to get down to one part per million, which means if there's a million DNA fragments in your blood and one of those were coming from the tumor, we could see it. So the idea being a very, very faint signal. And there's a lot of different approaches on the market, but we thought that where that approach could really shine is where cancers are really dangerous on the recurrence. So we've really thought about breast cancer and early stage lung cancer, where, you know, patients that are treated and they think it's gone, but when it comes back, it's often very dangerous. So getting access to that information for a physician or for a patient is really important. And secondarily, where because of that lack of resolution, and not really knowing, we do a lot of procedures that we probably don't need to do, or a lot of therapies that we may not need to do. And so the question there, Tom, is could we provide a confidence that a negative is a negative to potentially wait and not give a patient a therapy that was expensive or not do an invasive procedure so that we could not just be helping, you know, save lives, but also helping health insurance companies save money. And so we've really focused on that. So what we've done this year is we've stitched together some exciting collaborators to help show the evidence there. We've launched the test. We've already benchmarked, or we've already created personalized tumor snapshots for several hundred patients. And so it's, and working with their physicians to monitor them over time. And so it's, the data is starting to come together. But that's really been the idea, is could we get down to infinitesimal, where the signal from the cancer is very, very light. That's caused all kinds of ambiguities for the patient and the physician.
I know the story's evolved a little bit, Chris, over the last year or two, with offerings moving kind of more from a laboratory tool to clinical diagnostic products. Maybe walk us through that evolution. Tough to do that as a public company a lot of times, but as you know, obviously you're steering the ship into the secular trends that are going to be really important over the next decade or two.
Yeah, I mean, the company really has been powering historically biopharma's efforts as a key partner to help, you know, create personalized fingerprints of tumors to be able to shed new light and have new insights, and working with partners. I'd worked with some laboratories helping to run parts of their test, et cetera. But this ultra-sensitive test that we developed, that had been in development for years, but as it was coming through the process, and it was really clear that, you know, a couple of things were happening. One is that the way cancer is managed with these tests is changing and they're taking hold. And this is coming together as a $20 billion plus market, many people estimate. And that secondarily, that the approach that we have is unique, it's differentiated, and we think we can grab a really nice toehold. We've decided to focus in on that part of the market because it's the way that the platform and technology can make the most impact. So what we do is we take a patient's tumor from a physician, they order the test, they send us a tumor, and we use whole genome sequencing to be able to develop a personalized fingerprint of what that tumor looks like. And we build that looking up to 1,800 variants that we might see in a tumor. And that's unique in the market because both the breadth of what we can look at with whole genome sequencing is unique and gives us a lot bigger sort of targets to be able to look for. And secondarily, being able to build a personalized fingerprint of up to 1,800 variants is in and of itself also very different and differentiated. So it gives us a lot of the shots on goal. And then we use blood tests over time, you know, every 3 months, 6 months, year, whatever the physician thinks is ultimately appropriate to be able to look for evidence of the tumor recurring in the blood.
Chris, you mentioned partnerships and collaborations, and we'll talk about a couple of those in a minute, specifically TracerX and Tempus. But philosophically, like, how do you develop those relationships? How do they contribute to the overall strategy? And what do you look for in a potential partner for where you guys are right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think always with these things, when you're trying to attack a $20 billion market, you know, and you're trying to build something that really changes the lives of cancer patients, you can't do it alone. And certainly we're a smallish company, right, with 200 plus people. But even if we were a 10,000 plus person company, being able to work together is always better. And so we've really, especially given our size and et cetera, really scoped out a market-centric or a partner-centric approach, which I think is unique. But what we really focus on there, I think first and foremost with any partnership is there an alignment with purpose? Are we in it for the right reasons? Are we trying to make a difference in the lives of cancer patients? And if we're aligned there, then that sort of forms the basis for a conversation. Because, you know, I mean, the truth is that there's always ups and downs in any partnership, right? Yeah. In any relationship. And if you're not aligned at purpose and the purpose isn't the same, then you can get tripped up over things when times get tough. And if you've got an alignment of purpose, that's really what we look for. So we've established a whole bunch of different relationships this year. It's been really a cool time for us. So we work with TracerX in lung cancer. TracerX is one of the biggest global prospectively gathered set of early stage lung cancer patients. And that access to that cohort has given us the ability to show the efficacy of the technology and the platform with real patients. And the team there presented some data at a conference in Spain this last year, ESMO, at the end of the year, that showed we were able to find the recurrence of cancer almost a year ahead of ultrasound, which was phenomenal and got a lot of people excited for what we were doing and for an ultra-sensitive approach. And that data was continuing to come together and will be reported throughout the year. And then in breast cancer, we've stitched together collaborations with a group in the UK, Royal Marsden, which is one of the top thought leaders in breast cancer, with Dana-Farber, which is obviously one of the top U.S. institutions, and with the Curie Institute in France. Then there's a group in monitoring the efficacy of drugs that we're working with VHIO and the University of California, San Diego, and Duke. So there's a lot of different collaborators we've been working with, and we've stitched those together, but they all start with an alignment of purpose. And each one of those is designed to show that the test sees evidence of the disease well ahead of ultrasound, and that there's ultimately clinical utility, that use of the test changes the way the medicine practice. So that's been the first and foremost. The second partnership that we entered into this year that was exciting is Tempus. So Tempus is one of the nation's largest oncology-focused firms. They built an amazing group of professionals that are bringing a comprehensive suite of products to the nation's oncologists and working with biopharma companies across the world. And it's been a phenomenal success story in the space. And we've agreed to collaborate in co-commercializing the test so that we'll bring the test to the nation's oncologists together. From our standpoint, it allowed us to use their sales channel out of the gate to be able to talk to physicians and tell the story. And from their standpoint, allowed them to have access to an ultra-sensitive approach for MRD that was a tumor-informed approach. And so, meaning that we consider our answer in the context of the actual original tumor or sample or biopsy or surgical sample that was taken from the patient. So the Tempus arrangement is super exciting and allows us to grow a lot faster and a lot quicker than we otherwise would be able to do on our own, and gives us, I think, a real stamp of approval to have a company of that stature choosing to work with us.
Yeah, I thought one of the coolest parts of that agreement is that it doesn't preclude you from having your own internal team reaching out.
That's
as well,
right?
So it's really complementary to what you're doing.
No, absolutely. So we have a small team. We have four people in the field right now, five, six, sort of going through the year. And they're working with physicians. And we just did our earnings call where we talked about, we launched the test as an LDT, laboratory developed test, as an early access program, meaning we're enrolling doctors. But we've got 10 doctors in the program, and we're learning how to do things. And, you know, we're not getting paid early for the samples because we have to get reimbursement, so we're moving slow. But we have a wait list, Tom, of more than 150 physicians that want to be involved in this program. Just tremendous demand. We're working to grow that ourselves. And then Tempus will just keep growing that program as they go and as they come on stream. But yeah, I would note, though, that, you know, if anyone on the call knows the diagnostic business well, one of the things you want to do in these relationships is make sure that you hold on to the billing and the reimbursement. And it's one of the things that we do. So we do the billing and the reimbursement. I think in these businesses, as you build them, the core competency that you have to do is both develop great products, but also learn how to get paid for them.
Yeah.
And so definitely helps. A lot of times people give up that part because, you know, a lot of these other lab companies are really good at doing that. But when you give that up, you don't learn how to do that as a company and as an organization. I think it's really critical to the future.
Early this year, Personalis celebrated another significant accomplishment, announcing that they were granted Medicare coverage for their proprietary NextDx profiling technology. I wanted to know more about what this coverage meant for the company's growth and, more importantly, how it expanded the reach of their therapies to a broader patient population.
Yeah, it was really exciting. When a patient is first diagnosed, doctors take a sample, surgical tissue from that sample, and they look for different variants or different things in the tumor that may allow them to pair a treatment that's appropriate for the patient. And that whole class of products is called cancer genomic sequencing products, et cetera. And there's a whole batch of them in the marketplace. And typically standard of care now in this country is to have your tumor sample or have your blood analyzed to see what drugs would work best for your individual cancer. And so our product, NextDx, is one of those products. It looks at the tissue from the patient's surgical tissue, because we think that's the best way to get the most comprehensive answer, looking at more fusions or more variants, et cetera, than what other people could do. We submitted that for Medicare coverage, and Medicare covered the product, which north of $3,200 for the samples. And so it gives us a really nice growth vehicle as we wait for Next Personal to get reimbursed. But it's also one of the things in these things as you build reimbursement is you want to start building relationships with payers so that when you do come with your main product, they know who you are and they know that we do quality work. So for us, the NextDx product was really a way to do that more than a massive revenue driver of the company. It's really a way to start to forge the journey so that when we sat down and with a medical director at one of the insurance companies or with Medicare, whatever it is, they would know that we do quality work and that we're a quality organization because they've already learned about us through a context of another test.
Yeah. Obviously, we've been in a volatile environment the last few years, but how has the macro environment affected your business in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that we sort of accelerated dramatically during COVID is this notion of diagnostics. I think became very front and center to people's minds. It was, you know, the COVID tests were some of the first tests that consumers were doing at home, right? In a major way.
The uncomfortable nostril test. I had a few of those.
Exactly, right. And doing them ourselves, I think we all, and the sector sort of roared forward. The sector has been hit hard, I think it's fair to say, over the last few years, and has been beaten up badly. But I think what has caused a lot of people to do, and Personalis including, is to get very focused on what are the key things that you want to do. And I think it's helped us focus in on Next Personal as being the transformative asset that we have that can really change the way cancer patients are managed and create huge amounts of value for investors. Secondarily, it's forced us to really drive into this partner-centric strategy, which quite frankly is probably the best way to do it anyway, but it's created more of a sense of urgency to doing that when I took over last year and we really worked on it because it's more challenging in this new world to go raise money to build sales forces versus doing it with a partner. And so that's honestly, Tom, one of the things that made that very, very important. And then lastly and thirdly, really building path to profitability. And so I think all the companies in the space have gotten much smarter about how do we move the company towards profitability. And there's been the emergence in the space of a lot of companies starting to emerge as profitable. And that's super exciting. We've taken a lot of steps here at Personalis to move us closer towards that also.
Yeah. Well, look, I think when I look back at your progress, particularly in 2023, it felt like a ton of strategic progress, but also financial progress, top line growth, double digits, I think 13%, and obviously cutting expenses. But strategically, maybe you can kind of touch on some of the highlights of 23.
It was an absolutely phenomenal year for us. We resized the company. We were in the low 400s. We took the company down to a couple hundred people, and we dropped the burn by $35 million. And through that and some other actions, we pushed our cash out to last two more years.
Huge.
So we're really in a really good, it was a really good position from that, but it was tough. I mean, it's tough to go through that journey internally with people. But we also, in the context of that, we really focused on executing. We got our Moderna relationship announced and been a key partner in supporting their clinical trials with their partner Merck and to show the efficacy of what they're doing. And, in order to build a personalized mRNA product, they're using our next platform to be able to create the tumor. And so we've both announced that, we structured that, announced it, and got that all moving. So it's be a big generator of revenue in 24 and 25, which is exciting for us. We launched our next personal product, the MRD product that we spend most of the time talking about on this podcast. We, found and locked into the collaborators for that and picked the indications that we were going to focus on. We signed and the Tempus arrangement, but that was after a lot of working to find the right partner. And we feel like we really locked in and that was going to be a great relationship. And so far it's off to a good start. We partnered with Myriad, which is one of the big players in the space, for them to be able to take our biopharma profiling platform to their clients so we can amplify the leverage that we have there. And then we have a relationship with Natera where we're one of their lab partners. And we extended that relationship through 24, which was a big deal for us. So, and we got NextDx covered by Medicare. So, I think on all the different things, we checked off all the boxes that we said we would do. And it was a really transformative year. And we did all that and still grew. I mean, we grew the business. I think we ended the year at $73.5 million in revenue. Which was, 13-ish% growth, I think, year over year. And it was just, it turned out to be a really great year of execution and focus and really sets us up well for this next year where evidence will be coming together and we'll continue to focus on execution and building a great company.
Well, as you know, being a public company is always about like, what have you done for me lately? But I thought you did a really good job of laying out a path over the next 2 years to kind of get to 100 million. And I know there's a couple of pillars underneath that bridge to that. Maybe you can just talk about the pillars underneath and kind of your pathway to getting in that neighborhood.
Yeah, so we'll be a $100 million company next year in 2025. That's what we're shooting for internally. And the three pillars that are driving our growth is first, NeXT Personal. We plan to submit for Medicare reimbursement across our three cancer indications this year. The sample volume is starting to grow, and we feel really confident about the Tempus arrangement. And assuming we get reimbursement with the sample volume, that'll be a really nice driver of revenue. So that's the first pillar, and that's first and foremost, because quite frankly, that's going to be the revenue driver that'll really put wins in our sales in the future years. The next pillar is our ImmunoID platform, which is what's used by biopharma companies. And it's significant to note that our biopharma revenue has been performing really nicely in what's been a tough sector, sort of underlines the value that we bring there. And the personal cancer vaccine market across the board is growing. Moderna sort of led the way, but there's a whole bunch of other companies that have been there, and we've been the partner of choice there. So we expect that sector for us to continue to grow. And then thirdly, we have what we call our enterprise segment, where we provide our technology and our platforms to drive other people's products. And the VA has the Million Veterans Program, and Natera's has a lab services business there. And we continue to find ways both there to grow the revenue and find other clients to help power. So it's using our platforms and technology to help enable other people to do great things for their clients. So all three of those are growth drivers, and we feel like we were set up to power each one of those forward, and we're shooting for to be north of 100 million in 2025.
Well, listen, Chris, being commercially successful and also successful as a public company, it takes the right team. I always think if you can find 10 incredible people, you could take over the world, but that's not always easy to do. It's really hard to assemble, and you've done it many times in your career. Maybe talk about the leadership team and the culture of the company.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really important. The company is always a very scientific, collaborative place, and we've maintained that always through the time at Personalis. And Aaron Tachibana is our chief financial officer and COO, and Rich Chin comes out of Stanford and has been leading the development of our products as our chief science officer, but is also our chief medical officer, and sort of fuses the two together to really push things together. And then there's a lot of other people on the senior team with experience coming from some of the top companies in the space and et cetera. But, you know, I think you're right. It's one of the real strengths of the company. It's not just the platforms, but the people, both at the leadership team, but also throughout the company. We're really a really special, I think, collection of people and talent, and we work together really well. It's not just about getting the right people, it's about getting people to work together well. And it's not just about having the right strategy, but it's about the team connecting with the strategy and pushing it forward. I've always said that having a group of dysfunctional people pursuing the perfect strategy will not do as well as having an amazing team pursuing a mediocre strategy, yeah. Right? You'd rather be in the last position than the first one.
Steal that.
So we really focus. It's true, yeah. Right? You know, and you see this in companies where it's just like this, it doesn't connect, and the strategy might be perfect, but it's really about getting people to work well and create the power of team, which is really, you know, the 2 + 2 = 6, yeah. Right? And so that's really what we focused a lot on and working together as a leadership team and then throughout the company.
My last question for you, Chris, obviously when you're a public company, you get measured every 90 days, which can cut both ways. And I'd love to know your opinion when you look out 3 to 5 years, you know, where do you see the company? Who will be the main customers? What kind of products do you think you'll have?
Yeah, no, I think Next Personal will be a huge driver of value for our shareholders and for patients and doctors and pharmaceutical partners. We think that the test will be used by a significant number of physicians on a lot of patients to be able to provide a result when they need an ultra-sensitive MRD measurement or result. We expect biopharma companies to be using the product in clinical trials to be able to make sure the right patients are enrolled in the trials. And we expect the company to be on a really great growth trajectory and adding value to insurance companies and payers, because we think ultimately we're set up to help save them money and do the right thing for their members.
Personalis is well positioned to generate strong revenue growth in the coming years. With their ImmunoID Next platform and their expanding diagnostic offerings, they are making an impact in a market worth over $25 billion. And at the end of the day, they're focused on flawless execution for their shareholders. At Welcome to the Arena from ICR, we're working really hard to bring you exciting guests and great content. If you found this episode insightful, please subscribe to the show on your podcast app and leave us a 5-star rating. The more the show grows, the more interesting voices we can have on the podcast, and in turn, that should demystify a lot of the stakeholders around public companies and soon-to-be public companies. Thank you so much for listening. I want to thank Chris Hall for joining me on the show today. Chris's extensive experience in diagnostic technology has supported Personalis' powerful growth, and it's amazing to see this company and its products making such a difference for patients. This is Tom Ryan. We'll see you next time back in the arena.
References to specific stocks are not intended to be recommendations for specific trading behavior. Comments presented on this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only, and do not represent opinions or recommendations on whether to buy, sell, or hold shares of a particular stock. All investors are advised to conduct their own independent research into individual stocks before making a trading decision. In addition, investors are advised that past stock performance is no guarantee of future price performance.
This episode is brought to you by IEQ Capital, an investment advisory firm that provides a premier endowment-style investment approach and family office services to eligible clients tailored to the unique needs of your family. The founding team behind IEQ Capital are entrepreneurs at heart with an uncompromising focus on clients and investment excellence. With over 30 years' experience as investors, they have a broad understanding of each asset class, deep institutional relationships, and a network that provides assets to exclusive private investment opportunities. Visit www.ieqcapital.com to learn more.
While neither Tom Ryan nor the show receives fees from IEQ Capital in connection with the sponsorship, nor is Tom a client of IEQ Capital, ICR must note the potential conflict of interest in recommending IEQ Capital in light of our potential for a future business relationship. All statements in this episode express the speaker's respected personal views and do not reflect the opinions or review of IEQ Capital.